played sufficiently. Come back. That's Prabhupada's purport. And similar very short purports from our acharyas. This is Vishwanath writes, she began to call repeatedly, aho, vajit, ajo, havit. She called from far off because she feared that if she came too close, they would run away. And Sanatan Goswami writes, her heart, overcome with indescribable affection, she called out many times, Ati Velam, to Krishna, who was playing with the boys. She called to Krishna, her son, and Balaram, his elder brother, because it was getting late. Seeing him with Balaram, Sa Grajam, she called out. And then text 15, again, short purports. Mother Yashoda said, my dear Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast, my dear darling. You must be very tired because of hunger and fatigue of playing so long. There is no need to play anymore. Vishwanath writes, she repeated several times his name from far off so that he would hear. So that the Sanskrit is Krishna, Krishnada Vindaksha, Tata Ehi Stanam Piba. Jiva Goswami writes, she repeatedly called him so he could hear from far away and also to reveal her obstinacy. She called with affection, oh, lotus-eyed boy, to make him come quickly. Though she was actually afraid for their safety, she said that they must be tired and hungry. Since she was worried about telling anything inauspicious to them, like danger from demons, she thought that Balaram would bring him by force since he followed her orders. Thus she called Balaram. And Jiva Goswami comments in Priti Sandarbha, you know what it is? I should explain, yes? One of the commentaries that Jiva Goswami wrote was the Six Sandarbhas. And it's a commentary on the Bhagavatam that's by topic. And the final topic is Priti. So there's Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. You're familiar with those terms, right? Yes? Yes? So this is the Prayojana. So we're, in ISKCON, we're used to calling that Prema. Prema Prayojana. And Jiva Goswami likes the word Priti. So it's the section of his commentary on the Bhagavatam that focuses on the mature stage of love of God, called Priti Sandarbha. And he, in this particular commentary, he's using verses of this section to explain Rupa Goswami's language about prema. In Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar Devotion, it's Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So on the Prema Bhakti side, there's terminologies. Like Anubhava is mentioned here. So Anubhava in Nectar Devotion, it's subsequent ecstasy. So Anubhava, subsequent ecstasy, Jiva Goswami writes, giving beneficial instruction is an Anubhava of parental affection. Right? You give instructions. The mother and father give instructions to a child and they derive happiness giving instructions to their child. And when that's in relation to Krishna, that's an anubhava of vatsalya rasa. So here's an example of the affection of parental affection, or the subsequent ecstasy of parental affection, giving beneficial instruction. Quote, my dear son Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast, my dear darling. You must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There's no need to play any longer. Okay, so now we're going on to the next verse. We've covered two so far. This is 16. My dear Baladev, best of our family, please come immediately with your younger brother, Krishna. You both ate in the morning, and now you ought to eat something more. She's kind of upping the ante. She's now directly saying, Balaram, bring Krishna. She addressed Balaram as the son of the dynasty, so that Krishna would come quickly out of envy. She's using psychology. Parents do that. It's okay. It can also be an address to Balaram. That's the best of our dynasty. Or to best. It can also be an address to Krishna. Another version, this other version thing is, from time to time our commentators will say, of the different versions of the Bhagavatam, other than the ones that Gaudiya tradition accepts, there are other versions of the Bhagavatam that have slight variations. And this other version says, Krida Shanto Hi Putraka. O son, you are tired from playing. Putraka, little son, indicates a show of mercy out of affection. Putra is son and Putraka is diminutive. Little boy. Text 17. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Vraja, is now waiting to eat. Oh, my dear son Balaram, he's waiting for you. Therefore come back to please us. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes. Purport. It appears that Nanda Maharaj regularly took his food with his two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Yashoda told the boys, now, the other boys, you should go to your homes. Father and son generally sit together, so Mother Yashoda requested Krishna and Balaram to return, and she advised the other boys to go home, so that their parents would not have to wait for them. Vishwanath writes, that was Prabhupada's. Quote, your father is sitting, but without you he cannot eat. Why are you giving your father hunger pangs? All you boys should go to your houses. Your parents are also in difficulty like us. Please make them happy. She said all this to stop them from playing. And Jiva Goswami writes, oh, descendant of Dasharha, Nanda, thinking highly of you as the son of his friend, will not eat without you. Make Rohini and myself happy, or make Nanda and myself happy. Seeing Balaram absorbed in playing out of prema for Krishna, who was attached to playing, she ordered the other boys to go home. She did not mention the individual homes of the other boys, sva-sva-graheshu, because she spoke quickly. Seeing the other boys did not go home because of their affection for Krishna, she falsely called him for a special reason. That's this, Nanda's not going to eat without you coming. And then finally, this Mother Yashoda further told Krishna, my dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back, take your bath, and cleanse yourself. Here comes another trick. Today, the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows in charity to the brahmanas. This is Janma Riksham, the auspicious star of your birth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is the custom of Vedic culture that whenever there is any auspicious ceremony, one should give valuable cows in charity to the brahmanas. Therefore, Mother Yashoda requested Krishna, quote, instead of being enthusiastic in playing, now please come and be enthusiastic in charity, unquote. Yagya dana tapak karma na tyajam karyam eva tat, as advised in Bhagavad Gita 18.5. Sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be given up. Yagyo danam tapash chaiva pavinani manishinam. Even if one is very much advanced in spiritual life, one should not give up these three duties: to observe one's birthday ceremony, one should do something in terms of one of these three items, yagya, dana, or tapa, or all three of them altogether. Prabhupada doesn't waste any time in taking the opportunity to present Bhagavad Gita and these basic points. Vishwanath writes, he still did not come. In order to make him give up his enthusiasm for playing, she tried to kindle his enthusiasm in giving charity. Jiva Goswami writes, take your bath according to the rules. She made him excited since he was enthusiastic to give gifts. Clean yourself since the moon is in your birth constellation. You are constantly growing. When he still did not come, she showed that the other boys had now gone home to make him envious. Child psychology. Sanatan Goswami writes, seeing that the other boys could give up playing because of affection for Krishna, she explained a special purpose in going home. I think maybe it's to could not give up playing. You have to bathe completely. This should be done with water purified by mantras chanted by brahmanas, because today the moon is in Rohini constellation. Goal is explained. You have to be pure by bathing in order to give gifts to brahmanas. And the final commentary here, Vishwanath writes, but Krishna did not come. Then Yashoda tried to kindle his interest in giving charity. Now, there's the purports are not extensive, because it's not so much lesson time where Krishna is performing some pastime to teach a lesson to this devotee or that devotee. Rather, all the commentary preceding is just flowing here. It's the unique parental affection of Mother Yashoda for Krishna in his childhood pastimes. It's not that when he stopped his childhood, her affection diminished or something. It's just the focus during childhood is there with mother and father, and particularly with mother. repeatedly, attention goes to Mother Yashoda's love as being even more intense or more complete, or she had more opportunity to be with Krishna throughout the day than Nanda did, and so her love is extolled or praised in special ways. And this is no exception. Rohini had affection for Krishna and Balaram. Mother Yashoda's affection was even greater than Rohini's affection. That's been indicated. She's a very special personality in Krishna's pastimes. Here's a detail that comes from, I forget which of our acharyas. When we celebrate the Damodar Lila, we commonly refer to it as Radha Damodar, but it's actually Yashoda Damodar Lila. And there's a Radha Damodar Lila. And I can't remember exactly how it goes, but something like this. Radha had become angry with Krishna, as she would sometimes do, and she was sulking and doing her man lila, something like that, and Krishna was trying to persuade her to stop her anger, and he described that there would be a pastime, I forget, there was some exchange. There would be some pastime when she would try to bind him also with rope, and thus the term Radha Damodar became known through that pastime. I'll have to look it up to get the exact, how the flow goes. But Mother just so as much as we in our Gaudiya tradition, rightly so, honor Radha in a special way. Uddhava honored Radha in a special way. The whole of the Bhagavatam does. There's many chapters preceding the young gopis in appreciating Mother Jasoda's love for Krishna. And from her, then, all of the other elder cowherd women, the exceptional love of Mother Yashoda influenced and elevated the love of all the cowherd women, the gopis. It's very, very nurturing to that particular rasa, their love for him, Mother Yashoda's love for him. So it gets a lot of focus. And two other things. She's clever. Now, whether it's a fact that the Rohini star, the Rohini constellation, the moon was passing through that particular constellation or not, we don't know. Maybe it's somewhere in written by our acharyas, you know, we know. But she's using what mother and father sometimes have to do to get their children to do what the children are supposed to do, is make up stories. You know the How Balao story? The How Balao, you know that one? In Nandagram, when you go visit Vrindavan, you go up to the hill of Nandagram, and you see, that there's a big terrace up there along with the temple and so forth. And the backside, or if you're down below, you walk around and circumambulate. There's a place where Nanda would do his worship of Lord Narayan, etc. And there's figures that now have been stolen, but there's two of them remaining, where the boys were playing and Mother De Soda came down to get them to have their meal. And she said, "Look out, the Haubelau are coming." And then she started running. And so, Krishna went, "What's Haubelau?" And she said, they have sharp teeth and big claws and they're roaring. Look out!" And she started running again. So they, following the affection of Mother De Soda, they went running after Mother De Soda. They would come and have their lunch. So there were some stone figures of the Haubelau. It's, one of the pastimes. Now, it's not in the Bhagavatam, but it's one of the local stories. And I don't know if it was something that was spoken by our acharyas in their commentaries, but it's... So she would do different things to get Krishna to follow her motherly affection and service. Because he was very mischievous and very naughty, as Prabhupada would sometimes say. And that being a sign of his, a naughtiness of a child is a sign of intelligence. So Krishna was naughty. And she had to do things to get him. But it was the play. So can devotee parents do those things? Sometimes that question comes up. And he could do those things because he's the absolute truth. And if one does something not to imitate the activities of great personalities like Mother De Soda, but for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, that's the guideline of anything that you may do as a parent or anybody. At least we know that Mother De Soda made up stories sometimes to bring Krishna to the position of protection and well-being. So this thing with the moon passing through the Rohini constellation, my understanding of what that's all about is the 27 nakshatras that deal with phases of the moon. And each month, the moon passes through 27 of them, and that makes the phases of the moon. It's a detail, there's 28. I don't know exactly how this works, but there two of them are practically the same or nearly the same and overlapping mostly. So then it's considered 27. And that's the lunar calendar. And so the moon is passing through that particular constellation when a child is born, in this case Krishna, and I don't know, but here it's saying the Rohini constellation, that's the nakshatra. Then that's an auspicious occasion. It's not his birthday, but it's the sun passing through the same constellation as his birthday, so come back and give charity, because she knew that he liked to do charity. Mothers know the propensity of their children, and so she's encouraging him that way, because it wasn't working just to say come back, you must be hungry. It wasn't working to say come back because Nanda's fasting. So she tried another angle. Come back so you can give charity, and you have to take a bath to do the charity. See, even if your Mother De Soda, parenting is an issue. But it's all ecstatic because Krishna's at the center. So let's see if there's any comments or questions. And what we've been doing, I should have said this at the beginning, the persons that are attending the class, the few of us, please have something to have us discuss a little bit so that the online people can send their questions in. Anything at all under the sun. It hasn't set yet.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the wonderful class. So many classes I've been hearing the childhood pastimes of Krishna, and it actually has helping a lot in my chanting.
How's it helping your chanting?
I really have a hard time in chanting my 16 rounds because of that duration, like 1 hour 45 minutes. When I am chanting, my mind keep on
we discussed this the last time I was with you.
Then I was in one of the lecture I heard, like, we can, when we are chanting, if we can meditate on the past tense of Krishna, so that is one way of improving our concentration, right?
I don't know about that.
Since then, I've been working on my chanting more by reminiscing all the past tense of Krishna, and but sometimes I get carried away, like especially when it comes to when there are instances where my mind flickers and it goes to the Kurukshetra battle. Suddenly, when I'm in and around, when I focus on the childhood past tense, I'm pretty much focused, but sometimes I just carried away with those things. But is that the real way? How can I improve my chanting? Am I going in the right direction?
It's really simple. Maybe too simple for some people. But when you're chanting, you're just doing one thing. Hearing and chanting. Mm-hmm. And if your mouth is doing one thing and your ear is not hearing what your mouth is doing, but your mind is somewhere else, neither the goal nor the process of attentive chanting. Because your mind is still somewhere, it's in the Krishna ballpark. That's good. But when you're chanting, it's chanting. Now, when you're chanting and a thought of some activity of Krishna, pastime of Krishna, something comes. Not like, throw it away, but stay focused on the sound of Krishna's name. That's the chanting that I've heard, not this other. Something that will help your chanting is your mind goes to pastimes while your mouth is over here chanting. You want your mind to go to the sound. And the way for your mind to go to the sound is for your ear to go to the sound, then your mind can go to the sound. And because within the name is everything, then pastimes of Krishna, forms of Krishna may come to your mind. But your mind stays with the chanting because that's where, now, the question that you're raising this time and previously is you have a hard time doing that. It's not the method to get to the place where you're absorbed in Maha Mantra, thinking of pastimes of different places. It goes in sequence. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. You've heard that before? Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. Nama, Rupa. So within the name is the form of the name. And one can realize the form of the name through the name. And then from the form of the name or form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, and then the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, all within the name. It's all revealed within, it's all, everything is within the name. Just as everything is within Krishna, everything is within the name of Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was doing the last question, but probably I should focus more on the...
It's the sound. No, it doesn't, because you said it before and you're saying it again, it doesn't mean it'll all of a sudden become easy when it's not easy or hasn't been easy. But that's the assignment. That's our assignment. We know, we're human beings, we like tasks and meeting challenging tasks and applying ourselves to... I mean, to learn whatever it is that's your profession, you probably spent years studying a certain field in order to become proficient in what your profession now is. So it was a task that you, a challenge that was given to you, and you met the challenge, and now you're performing. Chanting is... in principle, the same. The application is different. It's not a fruitive thing. It's a spiritual thing. But it's a task. That's the assignment. The ear hears the sound. The mouth makes the sound. And when the ear hears the sound, the mind becomes captured. The ear can subdue the mind. It's stronger. That's the Vedic, that's our system. And while it's not easy for you, doesn't mean it's easy for the next person. It's easy, it's the same assignment. Same task. And practice and practice and practice. So, if thoughts of pastimes come, that's okay. Make sure your mind stays with the name. Make your mind stay with the name. It's you hear the name. Hear the name.
As soon as I imagine the rupa, it just takes me to the past.
But you stay with the name. It's within the name. It's not that by chanting, the mind gets carried away. I mean, this isn't our process. The mind gets carried away to the form and the pastimes. It's all within the name. The other is the flickering mind. The mind becomes stunned. And the senses become inert through the name. And the mind doesn't go anywhere because it's stunned through the sound of the name. Takes practice, but that's not this other. The other is distracted mind. And fortunately, if the distracted mind is going to those things instead of planning your day or remembering past things that you were misfortunate or future things that you have to make arrangements for. That's, instead of being present with the name. It's the modes of nature moving the mind. So, stay with the name. That's our method. That's our process. No, it's just, it's no shortcut. Just the practice. Okay? Good luck. Anything else? Yeah?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
In one of your class, I heard like Lord is controlled by devotees.
He's controlled by the love of the devotees.
Lord is controlled by the love of the devotees.
Yes.
So, what should be the qualities of a person who is called as a devotee? What should be the qualities of a person?
The principal quality is wanting to please Krishna. And then there's different ways of saying this. I'll use two different models. They're both Rupa Goswami models. There's, in scripture, there are 26 primary qualities of a devotee, but of those 26 qualities, one is called principal, the other are marginal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I could say what some of the other qualities are, but the principal one is Krishna Eka Sharana. That's easy. Krishna Eka Sharana. That's the principal quality of a devotee. So what is Sharana that has its meaning? Taking shelter. There's six limbs of surrender. Sharanagati. You're familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So the Krishna Eka Sharana. And then the others follow the 26. When the one, the principal, then the other the marginal ones follow. The cart pulls the horse, or the horse pulls the cart? The horse pulls the cart. So the horse is Krishna Eka Sharana. And what's in the cart is all the other qualities of a devotee. They follow that one.
What are the marginal qualities? Can you
Simplicity. Cleanliness, compassion, truthfulness, very similar to Brahminical qualities. Samadhamaktapakshocham. So, to list them is one thing. To describe them is another thing, and to manifest them is yet another thing. If you want to know the list and the description of the list, that's something you're interested in. Sasrup Maharaj wrote a book on the 26 qualities of a devotee. And the Gitanagari Press published it. There's soft copies. She can send you a soft copy.
Okay.
And so that's what you're, here's another reference place, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12. And it gives similar qualities. Now the question that Arjuna is asking is, what is knowledge? And you look at the list and its qualities. So one who has knowledge has qualities. One who has Krishna Eka Sharana has qualities. Because that's knowledge, taking shelter of Krishna alone. Now the Sanskrit in that verse is different than Rupa Goswami's. Is what's the Sanskrit? Bhaktir avyabhicharini. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avyabhicharini. It's a little bit longer, but undivided devotion in principle. And that's the one quality from which all other qualities come. It's mama and she's got so many babies.
Okay.
All good qualities come when that one quality is there. mai cha nanya yogina bhaktir avyabhicharini. And how does one get that one quality? That's a good question. You can find that in the purport, the very beginning, the first paragraph of the purport of those verses that your husband wrote down. Mm-hmm. It says how you get that one quality or how you strengthen it. And it's achari upasana, taking shelter of the spiritual master. Rupa Goswami's language is slightly different, but it's the same principle. Guru Padashraya is his phrase. And then from that, all other qualities. So what the other qualities are, so you recognize who is one who has good qualities. Those are two reference sources to look at. There's more in a very popular verse is Kapila Dev's teachings in Bhakti. Canto 3, chapter 25, verse 25. 325, 25. I think it's 25. There's a list of qualities of a devotee. Short list. But, you know, it's the essentials. But they're all resting upon one thing. Bhakti, exclusive devotion, exclusive dedication of service to Krishna. So now back to where the question is coming from. Krishna is attracted to that. He is more than attracted. He's controlled by that. That which means he's controlled by Radharani. Although Radharani is his pleasure potency, Radharani controls Krishna. And he likes. And Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radha. So we say, Bhakti Devi ki jai. It's that Bhakti Devi that gives us the opportunity for devotional service, which is Radha's giving us access to Krishna through devotional service by her expansion, Bhakti Devi. So, Krishna is attracted. Krishna is controlled by, depending upon the degree of focus of wanting to please Krishna. And that's at the heart of the heart of bhakti. Wanting to please Krishna. In ways that are following the predecessor perfected souls. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. You know that verse, right? Rupa Goswami? The definition of bhakti? Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navratam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. You've heard that before?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You can look that one up too. Write that one down. It's in Bhagavad Gita purports.
Sure. Thank you.
So that's what at the essence of bhakti. You could say, what are some of the characteristics of that essence? Letting go of other things, particularly karma and gyan, fruitive activities, trying to become an enjoyer through fruitive activity. Let go. That's a quality. Trying to understand things by the power of speculation, you let go. Those are very strong tendencies in conditioned souls, but you let go. And you replace them, that tendency, with just this one. Krishna should be pleased. According to the vidhis of bhakti, we try to do that. And even if it means, you know, controlling the mind when chanting your japa each day. It's a vidhi. It's a regulation. We practice and practice, and it's actually on the soul platform, it's completely natural, and the unnatural is our diseased condition. So that's what we're struggling with, the disease of being infected by Maya. So, okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Harish Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice pastimes of Krishna. I have a question, you mentioned about the Preet Sandarbha, and this is one of the six Sandarbhas, Lakshat Sandarbha.
Yes.
So, I'm just curious, what the other five...
What's the structure? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Five, and then I'm guessing they all fall into one of those three categories of Sambandha,
Correct.
And Prayojana.
So, you can just hold on. You're familiar with in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is having discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati about Vedanta. You're familiar with that section? No? You know who is Prakashananda Saraswati? You know. You have an idea. He's a big Mayavadi sannyasi and had thousands of Mayavadi sannyasi followers. And when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, they were making fun of him. Oh, he's a sannyasi and he's dancing and singing with common people. Sannyasis are supposed to be studying Vedanta Sutra. So they were criticizing. You know that, Leela. Yeah. So they said, Lord Chaitanya, we know that you don't mind all these things, but we do. It hurts. So please do something. So the something he did was, some arrangement was made. He was very, at that very moment, somebody came and invited him for having a meal with the other sannyasis, which he would never accept, but he accepted, and they went, and they had some discussion about, why are you doing this? You're a sannyasi, and sannyasis don't carry on singing and dancing in the public like this. We sit and we study Vedanta and chant Om. That's what we do. So Lord Chaitanya said, my spiritual master considered me to be a fool and said, you don't have the qualification, you just chant, and then these things happened. And so they in discussing Vedanta Sutra, Lord Chaitanya explained, it's very simple, there's three parts. And you find this in this section. You just go back and look at Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So a little detail is, Vedanta Sutra is, there are four parts, but the first two are Sambandha, and then Prayojana, then Abhideya. That's the structure. It's the structure of the Vedas. And it's the structure of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So the Sandarbha is the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the commentary of Vedanta Sutra, which is a summary of all the Vedas. So it has those three parts divided into six.
Okay.
The first four are Sambandha. And then number five is Bhakti Sandarbha. And number six is Preeti Sandarbha. But it's the three.
Okay.
And the Sambandha parts, the four, the names of them, it starts, the first one is Tattva Sandarbha, the means of knowing anything is Pramana. So there's a Pramana Khanda, a section dealing with the means of knowing. And then the next three after Tattva Sandarbha are Paramatma, Bhagavat, and Krishna Sandarbha. But you'll find that in, described in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. I'm just giving you a little bit more. So the Preeti Sandarbha is the number six. Yeah. And it's a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And even more, it's a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Because of the format of how it's constructed, without going into those details.
Okay. Thank you, Madam.
So let's have the online questions.
This question is from Radha Valla Prabhu. Number one, Krishna, childhood pastimes are full of sweetness and intimacy of parental affection. So is there any other key principle or instruction in addition to sweetness?
Well, everything is there. It's just there's emphasis on sweetness, but and then there's varieties of that sweetness, and there's degrees of intensity of that sweetness, and there are different types of parental affection, like how how Nanda relates, and how the other cowherd men relate, and how the other cowherd women, and so forth. So there's varieties. There's the overriding principle is just parental affection.
Okay. And the second question is, as part of parenting, we notice that teenagers have a strong need for autonomy.
Yeah.
And making their own choices.
Yep.
So within Krishna conscious practices, there are honest and authentic in making certain choices, rather than following some specific rules. So other than acceptance of their choice, is there any instruction for parenting to encourage deeper cultivation of bhakti practices?
Yeah, be a good example. Make an atmosphere in the home such that it's exemplary. Just like if you want a good garden, you make an atmosphere in your garden so it's conducive. You know, sufficient water, and so, you know, pull the weeds and this and that. Enough sunlight, not too much water. Just, you make the conditions, favorable. So make a favorable atmosphere in the home. And it starts within your own heart. But you know that there's, before teenage, there's 13 years of getting that together. The incubation chamber for the child that then becomes a teenager. So the opportunity is pre-teenage more so than at teenage. And when it's teenage, you just continue the favorable example setting inside and outside.
So now, this question is from Giri Votikota. He asks, in Bhagavatam Canto 2, Lord Krishna came in the form of son of Atri and Datatreya. We don't hear childhood pastimes as Krishna's pastimes. So please explain.
There's no explanation. It's just not given. That's all. For example, we don't hear a lot about Lord Ramachandra's childhood pastimes, and it's explicit about it. One who's interested goes to hear Krishna's pastimes. There's not a lot of the childhood pastimes.
Yeah. So this question is from Tejas Prabhu from Naperville community. He asks, Is every human living entity Sudra? If yes, then who is Kshatriya?
The context is how we hear that in Kali Yuga everybody is less than a Sudra quality.
Yeah.
So then who will remain as a Kshatriya here?
People that are imitators. Without naming names. We have leaders that are taking that administrative role, but they don't have the quality of a Kshatriya, nor the training of a Kshatriya. How you go? Good to see you again. So that say the same thing in a different way. There are persons in faculty positions in schools and colleges that are not brahmanas. There are persons in administrative positions within government and so forth and so on that are not kshatriyan quality. And there are people that are engaged in vaishya activity that don't understand the importance of protection of animals and particularly protection of cows. We have people that are lower than sudras populating those services or those social positions, and therefore it's chaos. I was just hearing Prabhupada recorded class in chapter 4 Bhagavad Gita where Krishna speaks of the four social orders, and he told a story that in a recent visit to Calcutta, one government officer asked him, why is there so much chaos in the world today? And he said, because people aren't trained how to do what's according to their nature in such a way it conforms with scripture. In the absence of that, it's chaos. And won't stop being chaos until that. So, but that's the answer to the person's question.
So next question is from Radha Kunjbihari Prabhu. He is asking, what is the difference between imitating and following? How can I ensure not to cross that line?
Well, following means we understand the principle of an elevated person, a teacher, or an exemplary, a role model type person. And imitating means I try to do what they do as they do it. And then otherwise it's following the example. Supposing somebody, one of these boys over here wants to become a basketball player. So they may have the, I know somebody that's a congregation member. He's really tall. But he's got his role model. You know, I know who his role model is in a basketball field. So he doesn't try to imitate that person, but he emulates, he looks up to and admires that person, and by admiration, then things that he says and does and the standards, the exemplary standards he sets by his actions, exactly as Krishna says, he looks up to that person. And he practices with meditating upon that role model hero. So, etc. So people, we do that naturally in the world, in our day-to-day life. And spiritually speaking, the same applies to even materially speaking. You don't try to do what you'd hurt yourself if you tried to imitate our Olympic gymnast personalities. You wouldn't be able to do it. So you don't imitate, but the discipline and fundamentals, and you work on those things.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is from Sanchari Mataji. She says, I am realizing more and more that I have no idea who Krishna is. There is faith building through the effect I see it has on anyone who hears these pastimes and the implicit joy that it gives. I have a harder time seeing the effect of the internal cleansing that's happening to me. I'm not dejected by not knowing, or feel discouraged by not feeling that Krishna magic taking place, but curious as to how we can gauge at what level our faith is in Krishna consciousness.
Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I like, in the example that he gives, it's really simple. I like things that are simple. On the one side, attraction for the temporary is fading. On the other side, attraction for devotional activity and specifically hearing and serving in that, in a mood of wishing to be in service to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees, that's increasing. Specifically with attraction to hearing is increasing. You know, notpadiyad yadi ratim shrama evahi kevalam. That verse. Vishvaksena katha ruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtan shavanat. It's the standard is becoming it attracted to hearing topics of Krishna, and with that a fading of the distraction. It's not at once, but the attraction or fascination with the temporary. Just increase of this and decrease of that.
So, next question is from Govinda Mohini Mataji. She says, we see Mother Yashoda is so loving unconditionally towards Krishna and Balaram. What can you do if you find yourself being dutiful towards your children but feel not necessarily loving? If that is not your nature to be expressive like that, though you love them.
Well, each of us have our nature, and second is, so don't be harsh on yourself, and that you have motherly sensibility, that's affection, and you may be more expressive, less expressive than another, that's fine, that's just different personalities. And then the third point is that duty precedes love. That mode of goodness precedes transcendence. So by following nicely the hearing and chanting process, the spiritual dimension of love will increase, because the spiritual attraction for Krishna, love will increase, and then that transcendental affection for family members will increase because of the affection for Krishna increasing.
So this is question from Vaishnav, Lila Shri Mata's son. I read that Ganga purifies the upper, middle and lower planetary systems. How is Ganga purifying the demoniac people in the lower planetary systems? How to understand this? Can you please explain, Maharaj?
How did it happen, or how to understand how it happens?
How to understand how the demonic people in the lower...
Well, because the Ganga flows even down there. And he can read the descent of the Ganges. One place that's like really detailed, nicely explained, is Krishna Dharma's Ramayana. There's an appendix at the end that describes in detail the descent of the Ganges. It's part of what is described by Vishvamitra Muni to Ram and Lakshman, but it's in the appendix, and the King Sagara bringing, you know, his sons, etc., etc. So it's Bhagirathi, the descendant of King Sagara, and the whole thing is described of how the Ganges is brought down to the lowest regions of Earth. Not the hellish planets, it's Patala. And when the Ganges flows, it purifies.
So this question is from Rupa Mataji. We went yesterday. In the age of Kali, while you're trying to apply Krishna consciousness in social life and work life with Krishna in the center, there are times I have to deal with negativity from others.
Yes.
It may be due to jealousy, controlling factor, and competition, etc.
Yes.
Though my intentions are good for people or for work, what is the right way to process the negativity? negativity. Although I try to not take it to heart, it takes a while to let go of it from my system.
Is that your negativity? I assume it means their negativity towards you, not your negativity towards the experience. Or your heart feels disturbed or in turmoil or something because of the harshness or way in which they're dealing with you in the workplace, etc. So, I can give a short answer, but if you want a longer answer, listen to, and one of you two can send her the links with the react versus respond section of the Dhruva pastime, because when very hurtful things were said in a hurtful mood by his stepmother to Dhruva, he got into a react mood instead of a respond mood, and his mother and Narada were helping him go to the respond mood. So how to do all of that is described in detail, but the principle is step back from, you know, the nasty, the harsh, or whatever it is, the energy that's coming directed towards you, and go into a mode of goodness place and reflect on who you are, you're Krishna's servant, and what's the best way for you to be responsive to this circumstance. And there's some positive and there's some negative, do's and do nots. It's all laid out in that section.
This question is from Harikatha Mataji, from West Coast. Harikatha Mataji's daughter, Gopi, she's about 6 years, like that. How do demigods go to Brahmaloka to meet Brahma, and how does Brahma go to meet Vishnu?
Well, the demigods have vimanas, means that they're airplanes. And they can go to see him. But it's a little technical. You have to listen to the very topmost part of the universe, Brahmaloka. And Brahma has presence in the heavenly realm at the top of Mount Sumeru. It's kind of like a summer home kind of thing. Like meaning like with people that are wealthy have more than one home. So he has a home or a residence, residential place where they can come and see him. It's at the top of Sumeru. And that's where they go. And then where they go to see Vishnu, Brahma goes and he brings the demigods. It's in the uppermost region of the heavenly realm. It's in Svetadvip or Dhruvaloka. That's where it is. In our within the universal structure, or Vedic cosmology. So that's where they go to meet Vishnu. And they have access.
So last two questions. One, three questions, okay. This question is from Shyamala Mataji. It's just a comment. Please tell Maharaj how astonished I am to hear about how below story from Maharaj. Reminded my childhood, my mother used to tell this story, so typical of Rajavasis. It's a comment.
Yeah. Anybody that's been around Vrindavan knows the how below story.
And this question is from Shrida Prabhu from Singapore. Shrida Prabhu, you were mentioning about Acharya Upasana today. Can I kindly request you to elaborate on this and how I can do this and progress in my spiritual life?
I didn't mention mantra upasana today.
Acharya Upasana.
Acharya Upasana.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just read Bhagavad Gita. It's right in Bhagavad Gita in that purport of 13:8 through 12. And center your life on fulfilling to please Krishna. I know the standard of pleasing Krishna is that the spiritual master is pleased. That's how Krishna is pleased. So Krishna may be remote for my consciousness, but spiritual master is more approachable or accessible or approximate for my consciousness. And taking the instructions of the spiritual master and living by the instructions of the spiritual master, this is pleasing to Krishna. So that's what we do. That's Acharya Upasana. The Upasana is, the worship is, just carry out the instructions. Making, is in Prabhupada's words, making the instructions of the spiritual master one's life and soul. That's mantra, Acharya Upasana.
And this is from Tarani Radha Mataji. She asks, please, can you explain how we can expedite of our spiritual journey to reach our goal and maximize this human life as our life is very short?
This is a big, the process of bhakti is the answer to that one. Follow the process of bhakti. Broad questions get a broad answer. Go ahead.
This is the final one. Adishakti Mataji was asking, while serving few devotees, what instruction should we keep in consciousness so we can serve from heart without offenses and have service mode?
Well, again, that's a broad question and it gets the broad answer. You know, you stay focused on that which is the instruction and you guard against offense. And the most important means to achieve that is how you chant the Maha Mantra. Right? How you chant the Maha Mantra. To achieve all of what this question is saying. So you really spend, invest a lot of energy in how you're chanting the mantra, Maha Mantra, every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Very, invest carefully in that. And then the other activities of hearing and the other side, carefully guard against offense. But that's part of carefully chanting and carefully hearing. Okay? Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.